Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
So in Psalm 23, 5, and today we're going to be hovering over this scripture. And last week we had the first part of this, part A, where it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And of course, that was a great message. Pastor Rick spoke last week. And today we're going to be focusing on the portion of it where it says, "You anoint my head with oil." You anoint my head with oil. And there's so many things that can be brought out of this scripture. And you know, as I was studying, researching, just looking at all these things that, you know, I came across a few people that are saying, you know, I kind of read that and just like skipped over it and, you know, just kind of like, oh yeah, he, you know, pours the oil over our head and haven't really studied it. And you know, in the same way, I guess for myself, I had a general understanding of what that meant in this scripture, but when we look at this scripture, like real down deep, like real down, and we study it and we see what this means for us, that this should be a life-changing portion of scripture. Of course, this whole chapter, you know, of course, is amazing, and I've loved pulling things out of it. But this point, "You anoint my head with oil." And when we look at sheep, of course, as we have been, and what this means for the shepherd and his sheep, that, you know, they would anoint their sheep's head with oil. It wasn't just a formality. It wasn't just like, oh, hey, I'm just going to pour some oil over the head. But there was so much meaning to it, and there was so much protection in it. And so I want to talk about that for just a little bit, because there were so many pests, so many different little things that would try to pester or to get at the sheep. And they, I mean, things called warbles, whatever those are. They had like nose flies. Aren't you glad that you and I don't have to deal with nose flies? Or nasal flies or nose flies and bot flies. And all these different things that would try to pester the sheep, and they would try to get in there and you know, make a home on the sheep. And these nasal flies, these nose flies, they would be these little bitty gnat-like fly things. And what they would do is they would fly around, they'd just be buzzing around. So you're talking about, you know, we've talked about how he leads us up into the high places in the summer. But in the summertime, it was the best time for grazing and the green grass and all this stuff, but it also brought these pests in the heat of the summer. And these nasal flies would just fly around, and you know what they would do? You know why they're called those flies? You can probably guess. They would try to fly in the nose of the sheep and get in there and lay the little eggs up in the nasal cavity of the sheep. That sounds disgusting, doesn't it? And what would happen is, of course, they would be bothering the sheep, but then when they would get in the nose of the sheep and they would get up there and lay their eggs, they would get up and they would annoy the sheep so bad that the sheep would beat their head sometimes against a rock because it was just this nasty feeling inside of their head. And they would just beat their head against a rock and sometimes even kill themselves. Then you've got bot flies. Anybody heard of a bot fly? Pretty nasty fly that likes to bury their larva, their egg, underneath the skin of the host so that it can grow into a big larva, all while munching and eating on the flesh of the host. Again, very awesome picture. But when you think about these things, and now you're like, okay, that's sheep, that's whatever. But how many times do we have these things going on in our life, these pests, these things that are happening that, I mean, it may be stuff just all around us. It may be stuff happening to us. And I just think, I feel like sometimes I've got those nasal flies. I just want to beat my head. But the enemy is constantly trying to fly around us, trying to swarm around us, just find a way in so that he can get in there and mess with our mind. That he can get in there and find a place to plant his little thought, his little, you know, anger or envy or all this stuff, something to get us to get off of track. He's looking for that place to put that seed that can grow into something that makes us, crazy enough to hurt ourselves, that makes us worried or angry enough or mad or whatever, envious enough that we would do something to knock us off track with God. And these are these, look, I can relate each of these different things. You know what? There's something also called scab. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I've had a scab before, but this is something that was a nasty, nasty virus that can be spread between sheep. And so this one's interesting because these pests that would fly around, these flies, these nasal flies and the bot flies and the warbles and all these things are an attack from outside. It's the enemy coming to attack us and bring some kind of thing into your house or into your mind or whatever that's going to get in there and drive this wedge between you and God. But this thing, this scab, see, this is a nasty little virus where they would, of course, get scabs. But you know what would happen is that this was passed from sheep to sheep. See, this is something that whenever there was a sick sheep and they had scab, that when they rubbed up against the other sheep would get it. And now if you can relate that to us, and sometimes there's scab, if you will, that's passed from believer to believer, from Christian to Christian. When there's somebody that's got some kind of a mess or sin or anger or hatred or something in them that can be passed on to us, if we rub up against them, if we're that close to them. But you know what the shepherd does? See, for these pests on the outside, these flies, they anoint their head with oil. They pour this oil, and it had these fragrances in it. And whenever they anoint their head with oil, when they would pour the oil over their head, the flies wouldn't, the fragrances and the oil, they wouldn't be able to get on the sheep. And it would protect them. And that is what God does with us. He anoints us with oil. Of course, we're his anointed. But he says, I want to protect you against those things. And interestingly, that whenever the sheep got scab and they didn't want it to pass from sheep to sheep, it went even further that the shepherd had to actually take, and with each one of his sheep, he would have to dip them, their whole body, not just their head, but their whole body, into this oil and cover them in oil so that the scab wouldn't be passed from sheep to sheep. And then there would be peace among the sheep. The sheeps. Did I say sheeps? That sounded really weird. There would be peace among the sheep. Or sheeps, whatever. Whatever you like to call them. But is there some kind of mental torment that you're dealing with? Is there some kind of attack that you're dealing with? Something that feels like those flies buzzing around, that feels like it's just coming after you and you can't get rid of them. Maybe you've noticed there's somebody that you've been close to, that maybe you've been rubbing up against, that maybe there's something that they got and you're like, wait a second, that's not good. I shouldn't be rubbing up against them. And you need God to anoint your head with oil. He's willing and he's ready to do that. There's no lack in him. And he's a great shepherd. See, we're his prized sheep. And in this whole story, in this scripture, I mean, one of the things is that I get out of it, it doesn't say this per se, but a shepherd, a good shepherd, cares so much for his sheep and is so excited to see his sheep healthy because it reflects who he is. Whenever the sheep are unhealthy, that means the shepherd is not a good shepherd. And it's the same with God. He wants us to reflect who he is, right? And he's not worried. He's not angry, except for a righteous anger, and which is okay. He's not troubled. He doesn't have lack. He's not a mess. And he doesn't want his people, his sheep, to be a mess either. He wants us to reflect who he is. That we can go right through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. That we can walk through these situations, and maybe we'd go through situations, but how do we look going through them, and how do we look coming out of them? Because as God's people, we should look like healthy sheep. We should look like confident sheep. We should reflect who he is. Have we asked God to anoint our head with oil? In Mark 16, 13, and they don't have this one, but it says, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. They anointed the sick with oil and they were healed. And one of the things we have to understand before you just go getting your oil from your house and just dumping it all over yourself is it's not the oil that brings the healing. It's God. It's a representation of his spirit, of who he is. And sometimes we need that representation. We need that physical thing in order to bring us to the place that we should be. It doesn't mean that he has to be somewhere like, hey, God, I'm going to bring this oil because somehow that's going to bring you or give you the strength. No, it's going to give us the faith. It's going to help us to be in the right place. And that's why we do that. It's not the oil, it's the one that brings the power into it. It's the one that has given us the strength that we need, that has given us the healing. Not the oil, not me, God. It's his spirit in us. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, there are so many different scriptures about oil. About anointing with oil. Priests were anointed with oil. Kings were anointed with oil. It was a representation of royalty or priesthood. It was a representation of being set apart from the rest. And that is who we are as God's people. Because he has anointed his people. We are set apart. We are his. 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. He who establishes us is God. And anointed us in Christ. He's anointed and established his people to be set apart, to walk in who he is, to walk in the strength, in the knowledge, and the courage that he's given each one of us, that we could bring him to all those around us. We've been established and set apart. How does this happen? It happens as we come to know Christ. It happens as his Spirit comes to be with us, right? Because Jesus, he went to the cross and then he said, I'm going to send a helper. My Spirit is going to be with you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He's everything that you need if you let him, if you allow him to be a part of your life. Allow him to lead you and guide you. You will be able to do, right, what Christ said, everything that I've done and even greater. So in these scriptures, as I talk about Jesus, there's a couple of them about him being anointed and with power and bringing healing and all these things. This is talking about Jesus, and it's talking through him to us, saying, these things he's done. But why has he done them? He's done these things. He came here to live this life, of course, to save us, but also to be something that we can look to and say, he's led me in the way I should go, and he's told me that I can do these things. I can be this, and I can live this way. And he said, get to do even greater. I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. But whenever God's people come in his name, follow him and walk forward as we should in the strength that we have through him, can you imagine? There's lots of stuff going on right now, in case you didn't know. There's lots of things that we can be scared about. There's lots of stuff. But we have him, and we are anointed, consecrated, set apart by him. What happens when we start walking in that strength? And in John, 1 John 2, he starts talking about how there's many antichrists. There's these people that are anti-Christ. That they've come. They don't know the truth of who Christ is. And they've been led astray. But he says in verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He's saying, listen, there's, and he's talking about, it's the last days. And I don't know how many times I've heard it's the last days. And maybe it is the last days. It probably is the last days. But what I want to focus on is there's some that aren't in line with the truth, but I want to be in line with the truth. There's these antichrists. There's these ones that shun the truth of who he is. And some that even claim to be his mouthpiece, some that even claim to be Christians, but they're leading people astray. But let's not be caught up with those. Let's be anointed from the Holy One, saying, you know, See, listen, you're anointed from the Holy One and you know the truth. Know the truth. What is the truth? It's that he is the Son of God, that he is the only way, that we have to repent of our sins and be saved. He says they weren't of us because they shunned the truth. But you have been anointed by the Holy One. You know. What do you know? You know the truth. What is the truth these days? It's kind of what I hear. What's the truth? Who knows the truth? I got it. I got it. I just made up the truth over here. I've got it over here. No, this is the truth. Hey, no, this person, they know the truth. No. What is the truth? There's so many things and so many different ideas nowadays that are trying to lead us astray, to bring us to a place where we're not trusting in God. We're not trusting that Jesus has set us apart, that we are not anointed by him. But as we talk about Jesus, I just want you to take these, and we're talking about Jesus and saying, but he has called me to these things. This is who he has called me to be also. In Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And Jesus was quoting this scripture and saying, this is written about me, and this is who I am. And this is who we are as his people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. He has set us to heal the brokenhearted. He's sending us out to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. And he's calling us to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That is who he is calling us to be. What are we looking for? Because so many times, and I feel like all over the world, people are looking for somebody or something to save them, looking for someone to give them purpose or what they're supposed to do, especially in this time. Tell me, what am I supposed to do? Take this. Take vitamin C. Take this. No, seriously, take vitamin C. It's good for you. But we're all looking for something, but what is it that we're looking for? Because what we should be looking for is him. We should be looking to him. He's the one that set us free so that we could be a part of setting other people free. He's the one that healed our broken heart so that we could be a part of healing broken hearts around us. He's the one that gave sight to our blindness. But why? So that we could help give sight to those that are blind around us. And how are we supposed to do that if we are not walking in the strength and the understanding of the anointing that he has given each and every one of us? Because this Bible, it tells me that we have been anointed We have been set apart. We've been covered by the blood. His Spirit pours over us. In Acts 10, 38, it says how God's anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, Jesus, he went out. Might be a little controversial. He didn't stay home. He went out. He went somewhere. What are we doing? I'm not saying be stupid. I'm just saying that we can't do anything if we're scared to do it. If we're scared to move, if we're scared to walk, if we're scared to go, how are we going to do what God has called us to do? And I'm telling you, his anointed people, the people that he's called by his name, they're called to bring healing to the sick. They're called to bring restoration to the broken. They're called to bring sight to the blind. How can we help people see if we don't go out and see them? Christ himself is the original anointed one. And he says, in me you are anointed. Just as I've been anointed from the Father, he says, you are my anointed. I pour my Spirit out on you and anoint you to go and preach the gospel. Anoint you to go bring healing to the sick. Anoint you to go bring healing to the brokenhearted, to set captives free, to bring sight to the blind. And that's what John, he's saying. And John, he's like, you're anointed, but you know the truth. Who Christ is. That's what he's saying. There's these antichrists, these people that don't believe, but you know. Do you know who you are? Do we know who we are? That is the question of the day. Do we know who we are? Because what my Bible is telling me is that we are his children. That we are his sheep. That whenever we're being pestered and attacked by those horrible warbles or nasal flies or bot flies or the enemy or the whatever, those things that are coming to drive us insane and drive us crazy, that he will pour his oil over our head and bring peace. That whenever there is scab amongst his people, whenever there are things that are trying to be disseminated, that are trying to be dispersed from Christian to Christian, that he wants to take and douse you all the way in the oil of his Spirit to keep you from that mess that you might get in. Because this Bible tells me, it tells me that I don't have to be worried about anything of this world. It doesn't say I won't get sick. It doesn't say that I won't die. What it says is I don't have to worry about it, right? Because Paul said, he's like, listen, to die is gain, bro. Send me up there. I don't care. You think I want to be here? I mean, I love my family and my kids and you all. I love you all so much. But what is leading us? What is leading us? Because if I have said in my mind that to live is Christ, I love that, to live is Christ, what does that mean? Well, to live like him and probably go through the same things he went through. Like, oh God, why you gotta, how do you think that you're gonna not go through things that Christ went through? What do you think? And we think, oh God, you don't want me to walk through this, do you? Christ showed you how to walk through it. He did it, and he said, hey, follow me. Well, to live is Christ. To die is gain. To die is gain. And you know what? We have the most amazing, amazing senior adults in this place. You know why? You know why? Because I feel like they have more faith than anybody that I have ever seen in my entire life. Pretty much all of them. Because you know what? I'm like, hey, you guys being careful? I'm good. You sure? Hey, I had a good life. I'm going to still have a good life and have an even better one whenever I get up to see Jesus. Well, okay. To have the faith to say, like Paul did, to live as Christ, I'm going to walk through things. Things might be tough, but just like him, God has got me. And to die is much better. Is much better for me. And how about if we walked like that each and every day of our lives? What would happen if we walked in that understanding of who God has called us to be and how good he is, and that this life is not the best life? That my best life is going to be whenever I get to be with Jesus, whenever I get to sit with him for eternity in heaven. And when our mind is set on him in that way and we allow his oil to just pour over us and just say, God, I know you're with me. I know you're my protector. That you're everything that I need. That I can walk in your strength right now, each and every day of my life. But how much more amazing is it going to be to sit with you for eternity? Man. So he anoints our head with oil. What? We're set apart. We're covered. We're protected. We're taken care of in his spirit. Again, doesn't mean we won't walk through things. Just means that he has got us. That he will take care of his people. We know the truth. We're anointed, set apart. Know the truth of who he is. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who? You don't like my song, Sarah? Who are you? It's a good question. It's a good question because I think that whenever we ask ourselves that question, it makes us contemplate what we're thinking about, how we're acting, who we're acting like. Right? Those are the questions that I want to ask myself. Sometimes whenever I get out there, maybe I'm in the car getting frustrated because there's somebody driving really slow. Who are you? I'm not a race car driver. I'm not a jerk either. Well, I'm not supposed to be. I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm a little Christ. Oh, really? Are you acting like it? Whenever those things come, try to bring fear into your life. Whenever those little, you know, nose flies come in and try to get in there and plant those seeds of doubt or fear or anxiety or all these different things that he could possibly bring into our life. Whenever those things happen and you're feeling a little messed up and you just say, who are you? Who are you? Well, I'm God's child. Oh, really? Well, what does that mean for you? Well, that means that he wants to take care of me, that no matter what happens in my life, he's got me, and that he'll pour his oil over and bring peace into my life whenever there's things tormenting me, and that whenever there's things coming trying to take over my life, he'll just dump me straight in that oil and get that stuff washed off. I'm his prized sheep. I'm one that he wants to represent who he is. And so he's gonna, if I allow him, he's gonna take care of me and make sure I'm healthy in mind and spirit. He's gonna make sure that I am everything that he has called me to be. Really? Who are you? See, you know, maybe you don't ask yourself that question, and maybe that question when you do ask yourself doesn't bring you to those places. But for me, I think if we really ask ourselves that in that kind of a way, that it can change our attitude. It can change our perspective and help us to understand who we are in Christ, right? We're his prized sheep. We're the ones that he wants to represent him. He wants us to follow in his footsteps, right? Christ said, you're gonna do these things, you could do even greater. He was anointed to heal the sick, to proclaim the truth. And he says, you do these things to bring healing to the broken, to bring healing to the sick, to bring restoration. He says, that's who you are. That's who I've anointed you to be. Can you walk in that? Can you walk in that? Even in 2020, can you walk in that strength of who you are? And it starts with asking him to be the Lord of your life. And it continues on whenever we allow his spirit to come and fill us. If we ask his spirit to fill us, see, when we ask him into our life, his spirit is with us, but are we asking him to come? And we'll talk about him filling our cup to overflowing next week, but are we allowing his spirit to fill us up? What spirit are we allowing to fill us up? The spirit of fear? Or the Holy Spirit? The spirit of anxiety or anger? Or the Holy Spirit? Because he wants to fill us up, to bring to us, to give us all those things of who he is, which is, right, strength, power, peace, goodness. All the things of who God is are in us. Those flies can come around and make us start to forget who we are, but he says, take another dip. He says, no, get back down in that. Those things aren't who you are. Those things can't torment you whenever you're in his spirit. Those things can't come and plant those seeds whenever the Spirit of God is invading your life, whenever his oil is flowing over you. Are we allowing him to do that? Would you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.